Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thanks again for listening. And here's the number, 888-914-9149. As you know, if you're a regular, I don't have interviews. I don't have guests. I talk to you. And so if you're in the mood and you'd like to get on the air with your comment or question, maybe you need a second opinion, you'd like a little advice, you heard something, it didn't sound quite right, maybe you heard me or thought you heard me say something that you didn't agree with, it's pretty much all fair game. Here's my number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. A few things I wanted to just catch you up on in the wake of the Dodgers debacle of inviting the, you know, this crazy, vile, trans, no, not trans, what are they? I'm losing my vocabulary here. The drag king, drag queens. Fifth time's a charm, right, Cyrus? So the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, how I hate saying that phrase. It, you know the story. They mock religious sisters. It's gross. Anywho, I saw this on Twitter. I thought this is pretty cool. So there is a Christian player on the Dodgers team, Blake Treinen. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing the last name. I think it's Treinen, T-R-E-I-N-E-N. And he objects to what his team was doing and is doing with all this. So he issued a statement. And here's what he said. He says, I'm disappointed to see the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence being honored as heroes at Dodger Stadium. Many of their performances are blasphemous, and their work only displays hate and mockery of Catholics and the Christian faith. I understand that playing baseball is a privilege and not a right. My convictions in Jesus Christ will always come first. Since I have been with the Dodgers, they have been at the forefront of supporting a wide variety of groups. However, inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I might shorten that to SPI, S-P-I, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Allowing them, inviting them to perform disenfranchises a large community and promotes hate of Christians and people of faith. The single event alienates the fans and supporters of the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, and professional sports. People like baseball for its entertainment value and competition. The fans do not want propaganda or politics forced on them. The debacle with Bud Light and Target should be a warning to companies and professional sports to stay true to their brand and leave the propaganda and politics off the field. He says, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe the word of God is true. And in Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This group, referring to Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, openly mocks Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of my faith. And I want to make it clear that I do not agree with or support the decision of the Dodgers to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And then he signs off, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua 24:15. That is really cool. I like that a lot. And Cyrus, would you kindly post that from Blake Treinen on our Twitter feed?
It's going up right now.
I'm afraid I don't know what position he plays. You got to be really good.
He's the pitcher
for the Dodgers. Oh, he's a pitcher. He's like one of the most important people on the team. Maybe the most important person.
It'd be interesting to see if any other Dodger players do the same and follow suit.
For sure. For sure. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some Catholic leaders come out publicly with something like this. Wouldn't that be electrifying? This is good enough, though, for now. And I don't know much about this gentleman other than what I've read, but I do admire him for his courage because, after all, he's not on another team. He's on that team. And I wonder if maybe there will be some backlash against him. Sounds like he's ready for it. And I'm happy to hear that.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's so
what
true.
An awesome way to end a statement.
Do you want to end your statement with that? Do you want to say it?
Yeah, that's how he ended his statement, and I admire it.
I agree, 100%. So now let's take this in a slightly different direction. I mean, sooner or later, we're all going to get sick of this story. But for the moment, it's what's swirling around. You've got gay people in Florida saying we're leaving because it's so gay unfriendly now. Every day there's a new story. And that remains to be seen where they go. Who knows? Maybe there will be some, you know, some exodus of some significance out of Florida. And then people who are, you know, sick up to here with what's going on at Dodger Stadium, they might say, well, we're going to go move to Florida. Who knows what could happen? Now, this involves, you like some Chick-fil-A now and then, right, Cyrus?
Yeah, it's delicious.
And they have a reputation for being kind of a standout fast food organization because they've taken heat on this very topic before. So going back, I don't know, maybe close to 10 years now, the then president and owner of the company, he issued, or he was doing an interview, and he said that he favors biblical marriage, traditional marriage, a man and a woman. That's what Jesus said, by the way, Matthew chapter 19. And that sparked a real backlash from the same people now who are angry about the backlash and boycotts against Target and the Dodgers. And I heard Michael Knowles last night. Nancy and I really enjoy watching his videos. If you don't know Michael Knowles, get to know him. He's a sharp young man, Catholic, very articulate. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. And I, you know, full transparency, I've met him a few times, so I can say that I know him. But I heard him use again last night, and I had forgotten about this, Transheiser-Busch. He was talking about the Bud Light debacle, and he used Transheiser-Busch. And I'm thinking that's probably catching on because I had heard other people talk about that too. You know what I'm saying? Transheiser-Busch? All right, settle down. So Chick-fil-A's in the news now. And this is from NBC4i. This is a local NBC affiliate station. News of Chick-fil-A having Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, DEI for short, has some conservative groups calling for a boycott. I mean, whoever thought conservatives would ever want to boycott Chick-fil-A? They're not even open on Sunday. That's how traditional they've been, historically at least. They don't work on Sunday because they don't want their people to be working on the Lord's Day. I've always really admired that. I mean, that's a lot of money that you don't get because you're not open on Sunday. Who knows how many millions of dollars they forego because the corporate decision not to work on Sunday is putting God first. In any case, they have a new department now. It's like all the other companies. It's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And these are code words for certain things here that we'll get into. The fast food giant has been a favorite among many over the years due in large part to its religious roots and its sporadic financial support of anti-LGBTQ organizations. Can't they just say like pro-family or pro-traditional marriage? No, they can't, because then it would take the sting out of what they're saying here. A previous announcement of Eric McReynolds, who's the vice president for diversity, equity, and inclusion at Chick-fil-A. He's been with the company's DEI segment since 2020. And the article points out that they don't really know exactly why news of Chick-fil-A's previous DEI initiatives took off on social media, but it's taken off. Loosely defined, DEI, and again, that stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion, is a variable set of principles that organizations and companies are increasingly incorporating into their work environments. As explained by a job resource outlet, DEI is often used to describe the programs and initiatives a company has in place to improve those ideas. They include actions like hiring more diverse employees, making pay more equal, and including training for non-minority employees on how to support their minority colleagues, for instance. The principles have been criticized by many conservatives in recent years. Well, that is by no means a complete explanation of what DEI stands for. That is a very insipid sort of rose-colored glasses look at that. Equity, very often, what it actually means is a form of reverse racism.
Fact. And
indeed. And it's actually something that is well-critiqued by Dr. Edward Faser. In fact, I have a note here that came in from Mick, who's saying, I heard you reference a Catholic book on critical race theory. For 15 years, I've been in a non-denominational group that reads books and then discusses them. The book we just started is By What Standard? God's Word, God's Rule. Seven authors, all Southern Baptist ministers. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I listen to you all the time. I heard you recently give the name and author of a critical theory book. Well, it's not a critical race theory book. It's a book critical of critical race theory. It's a critique of critical race theory. And he says, can you please point me in the right direction? Certainly, Mick. So the name of the book is All One in Christ, A Catholic Critique of Racism and Critical Race Theory, All One in Christ by Edward Faser. It looks like Fesser, but it's pronounced Faser, F-E-S-E-R. That's the book, All One in Christ. I think it's published by Ignatius Press, if I'm not mistaken. And you will find a very solid, thorough critique. It's not a terribly long book. I'd say maybe 150 pages or so.
Where am I supposed to get it?
Any Catholic bookstore. Any Catholic bookstore, you can get it. And if you don't have a Catholic bookstore near you, yes, you can go online and get it. So back to this article. If you want to read a Catholic critique of this notion of equity and what it really means, I mean, it sounds great. It looks good on paper. And I mean, who's going to argue with equity? Everybody wants equity. If you have equity in your home, that's a good thing. If you've built up equity in a company that you partially own or, you know, whatever it may be, you pay your car off, you have 100% equity in your car. Equity as such is a good thing. And things that are equitable are good. But it's like so much in this House of Mirrors when it comes to critical race theory things and wokeism and all the terms that people use nowadays that we never really heard about much, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They mean something different from what the word normally would connote. And the reason I'm going into this is to say, if you want a detailed critique of this, Edward Faser gives it in that book. So point being, Chick-fil-A has got a DEI department. And now that people have found out about this, people are getting really ticked off. I mean, the same people, I presume, who are ticked off by the LA Dodgers, and they're ticked off by... It's so wearisome, all of these things. We have to stay abreast of them, though. So the LA Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and Target and Anheuser-Busch, as Michael Knowles would say, it has a kind of a ring to it. And all of those things. So now Chick-fil-A is in that mix. And so people are beginning to organize a boycott. And it just could actually take off. I mean, I don't know. And I don't, honestly, Cyrus, I'm going to just tell you this. I don't really care. I don't care whether Chick-fil-A gets better or worse. I mean, this is the marketplace. I don't think Chick-fil-A has stock that you can buy. Yeah. I don't think you can go buy Chick-fil-A stock. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've gone public, but I know for the longest time they were a family-owned business. So it's not as though I'm rooting for them. Like, I mean, I guess you might say I am kind of rooting for them in the sense that, guys, do the right thing. Hey, Dodgers, do the right thing. Hey, Target, can you stop doing the wrong thing and just do the right thing, please? I mean, in that generic
just
sense.
Just start with stop doing the wrong thing. That'd be a great place to start.
And we build up from there. That's all. But other than that, I don't really care. I don't own stock in Target. Oh, man, that's like buying a ticket on the Titanic. Hey, you're going to America? Yeah. How are you getting over there? Well, there's a brand new ship. What's it called? Titanic. I mean, if you knew then what you know now, you wouldn't buy that ticket. But we're kind of seeing some of these big companies doing the Titanic, losing billions and billions of dollars a week. This would be like a theme song for these big companies that just tank because of the stupid policies and people don't want it. I think there's a high note in here somewhere. That's the stock price going up just before it sinks. All right. You're getting pretty good at that, Cyrus.
I've been practicing.
I noticed during the lunch break you were out in the parking lot practicing where nobody can hear you.
You're welcome.
Do you ever practice that flute on the way home? Like one hand on the steering wheel and the other one you're playing the recorder?
Hey, speaking of music, did you see the did you see the rap song about Target that has taken off?
Oh, what's the name of it again? It was the number one song on Apple Music or iTunes rather yesterday. What's it called again?
I don't know. Let me look it up real quick.
It's kind of a rap song.
Oh, it's more than kind of a rap song. It's a heavy rap song.
Yeah, and it's all about hating Target. I need to look it up. When I first saw that, thanks for reminding me. I was really surprised. So it's called Boycott Target. That's what it's called. And it's by, who is it by? Nikki Natoli and Stony Dude Bro. That can't be a real name.
Household names.
And then there's Forgiato and Jimmy, whatever. I don't even know who these people are. Do we have that music? This was the number one song.
Yeah.
This is the number one song. It may still be the number one song, but this was the number one song on iTunes as of yesterday afternoon.
All right. And just to spare most of our listeners, I'll only play a little bit.
Thank you. They put a target on my back, but they're targeting your kids. They don't even need to ask because you all know what it is. Yeah, that's why I keep a strap and I'm always by my best. This agenda gotta stop. Yeah, you know we gonna win when they target, target. Yeah, they target and target, target. Yeah, they target kids. You knew it had to happen sooner or later that it would that this controversy would be reflected in artistic. Would you call that artistic? That's a form of art, I guess.
It's not my favorite form of art, but yeah.
Just think of all the people who don't like that kind of music who are listening to it because they like the message.
I bet there are some.
Me, make sure Father Rocky isn't listening to that.
No, that's not bumping in Father's car. No.
But it's bumping in everybody's car who's listening to the show right now. So in case you're interested, it's on iTunes, and it's under the hip-hop rap. But apparently it's the number one song as of yesterday.
Yeah, when I first looked for this morning, you're the one who alerted me to this, and so I went to YouTube. I couldn't find it on YouTube. I had to go to Spotify.
Huh.
I had to go to Spotify to find it.
What an odd coincidence.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty interesting.
I wonder why you couldn't find it on YouTube.
Huh. I know.
Huh? How about Facebook? Was it all over Facebook? I'm guessing not.
I didn't look at Facebook. But I bet it's not. Yeah, if I was a betting man, I would be betting no. It's not on
now,
Facebook.
Did Google give any hits for this at all, or are they trying to hide it as well?
Well, let's do it right now. It's called Boycott Target Song. All right. And I do get some links to it. So
okay.
Google is not, I'm getting more news stuff about it, but when I scroll down, I can get to a video and it looks like the video. I'm not going to click it now just in case, but.
Yeah, not on the air anyway.
Right.
Well, that's good to know. These are all tidbits. I have one more tidbit. We have to take a break, but here's one more tidbit. And we'll get it all out of the way all at once. Then we'll go on to your phone calls and emails and things. 888-914-9149. One more little thing for your Good to Know file. It's from the New York Post yesterday. Bud Light sales plunged 25.7%. And to add insult to injury, I guess if you're in Transheiser-Busch world, if you like Transheiser-Busch, their competitor beer, Modelo, is closing the gap. Bud Light sales suffered their worst week ever. This is just in this one week. Their sales fell 25.7%. And it says it's now endangering their status as the world's number one beer brand.
You think?
The plunge follows. What's that?
You think?
The plunge follows a 24.6% decline the previous week. What is that at? That's like 50% in 2 weeks, if I'm doing the math right. And so this plunge of 25.7% follows last week's decline of 24.6% from the previous week and the sixth straight week of sales that have been plunging since the trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney started promoting Bud Light on April 1st.
This has been going on for 6 weeks?
it feels like, you know, in some ways it feels like a lot longer than that, but in other ways it feels like just maybe a week.
Right.
So the gap between, the gap in sales between Bud Light and its nearest rival, Modelo Especial. Now, Modelo Especial saw its sales go up nearly 10% for the week ending May 20th. So Bump Williams, who runs a consulting firm, he said, while Bud Light loses week after week, Modelo Especial gains week after week. And now Modelo outsells Bud Light on a national basis all across trade channels, in all trade channels combined. He says if this continues, Modelo will surpass Bud Light for the year. Transheiser-Busch, InBev, owns both brands, but it does not control Modelo in the United States, where it is owned by a New York-based conglomerate, Constellation Brands. For the week ending May 20th, Budweiser, they just give some statistics. Budweiser, not, you know, not Bud Light, that's a separate crash and burn, but another product in the product line, Budweiser, it went down 11.2%. Michelob Ultra, also owned by Transheiser-Busch, fell 6.5%. Busch Light was off 5.2%, and Natural Light was down 4.9%. I bet you people couldn't tell the difference. If you poured four or five different cups of that beer, you probably couldn't tell which one was which.
Yeah, and after the fourth or fifth one, you wouldn't care.
I wouldn't know. No. I probably would be at home praying the rosary while you were doing that.
Thanks.
Yuengling, which bills itself as America's oldest brewery, has seen sales of Yuengling Flight soar by 47.6%.
Whoa.
And its lager is up 32%. And this is just for a matter of 4 weeks. So Coors Light, Miller Light, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
PBR.
They've seen double-digit sales increases because of what Transheiser-Busch did. So, and I told you about when I took the kids and the grandkids to the AAA baseball game last week. And most of what they had on tap in the concession stands was Bud Light. And I asked the lady, is there any other kind of beer? She said, yeah, but you're like the 1 millionth person who's asked me that tonight because nobody wants to buy it. And I was in, not a Target. Where was I? I was in a Kroger, and they had this huge end cap filled, not, it was untouched, with Bud Light. The big blue boxes, not a single one taken off the shelf. And that was for the busy weekend, too. You know, the busy holiday weekend.
Right, everyone's barbecuing and getting...
And buying beer.
Buying cheap beer to share with their family.
They're not buying that beer, that's
They're
for
not
sure.
buying that. And it doesn't get any cheaper, apparently.
Well, but they have like just about free.
Yeah, with these rebates, and still no one wants it.
They don't want it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's
all good. Right.
I'm glad
all
they
right.
don't want it.
We have to take a break, but so I got it all out of the way. So we're all done with all that story. Now, if you want to talk about it, we can do that. But those are my news items for your Good to Know file. This is the number one song as of yesterday on iTunes called Boycott Target. Make of it what you will. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. If you're in the market for health insurance, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Hey. Okay, we're back. Phone number 888-914-9149. Let's go to Linda in Iowa. Hi, Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Love your program. So I wanted to comment on this whole LA Dodgers thing. and bring up something I don't think that you have discussed, but maybe I missed it. Last week I was listening to your show, and one of your readers, listeners called in and gave that website, fanfeedback@LADodgers.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wrote an email, and so then I was just doing a internet search on this group. I had to look them up in order to write the email, I guess, because I didn't remember their name.
You're talking about the Sisters, the drag queen group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And so I found some articles that support our point of view. My point of view is in line with yours, that this is, you know, very anti-Catholic and bigotry and all that. But there were some articles that I read, like one, it looked like was in the LA Times in support of these people, saying that they do good things and they run some type of children's clinic or children's hospital in San Francisco for children with AIDS, and that they were one of the first people to open a clinic for children with AIDS way back in the 1980s. And they do different fundraisers and, you know, charity work. And of course, it's like these kind of groups, they can't even keep themselves from doing truly good things without the evil invading it. So it said that they did an Easter fundraiser, but the Easter fundraiser was a show that was a drag show. And one of the performers was an impersonator of Christ who was pole dancing on a cross. So, you know, they can't even do a charity event, right?
I don't think, if I can offer another perspective, Linda, I think you're right in the sense that, you know, these guys are so messed up spiritually and who knows what other ways. I can see your point, but I don't see this as them trying to do something good and they just can't figure out how to do it. This is a facade. This, I believe, is a way to say, oh, but look at the good things they do. We do good things. We put on drag shows for kids when we raise money to help these kids. I think it's window dressing. That's the word I was looking for. It's window dressing. And I think these are done as a way to sway people like you or me to say, oh, well, I guess they're really not all that bad. You know, sure, they do demonic, devilish, terrible, perverted things. But, you know, they also help kids. You know, that's what I think's going on here personally.
Well, I definitely agree, but really the reason I wanted to call is because I'm envisioning myself getting into discussions about this with friends and family members, and some of them who are more sympathetic to these types of causes or groups may take that argument, you know, or make that argument to me. Mm-hmm. And I also realize that some of your listeners also may encounter that. So I wanted to bring that up to you and have you give me and, you know, probably your listeners, like if a family member were to say to you, yeah, but, you know, they do these things. I mean, I know you already commented on it, but if you could comment a little more, just that's my reason for my phone call.
That makes sense.
I don't agree with that. I don't care. You know, I'm sure that Adolf Hitler did good things too, but
I get what you're saying.
To hear your comment. Yeah, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I mean, to kind of repeat or I guess expand, my reaction, not to you, of course, but to what people are maybe trying to insinuate or suggest in the article would be, so what? You know, even a blind hog can find an acorn now and then. So if these guys do something that's, you know, from a civic standpoint or a humanitarian standpoint, they do something that's okay. Well, I guess that's kind of good. It doesn't in any way offset the terrible things that they're doing. And we're only talking, obviously, Linda, we're only talking about like these public performances and the mockery of Jesus Christ and Catholics and Christianity, religious sisters, all of those. We're not even talking about, and nor will we, about what their lives are like behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we don't even have to think about that, but that's there in the background. So what I would say, number one, is Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. I don't care if they, you know, bought a bunch of Pampers for babies. I don't care if they, you know, raise some money by doing drag shows. I think that's wrong in itself. I don't care. So I think that we should be dismissive of these flimsy attempts to rehabilitate groups like this, to say, oh, well, you can't really hate on these guys, or you can't really, you know, boycott them or boycott companies like the Dodgers who make use of these people, because look at the good stuff that they do. I would just sweep that aside and I'd say that's irrelevant. Let's concentrate on the harm that they're doing. And so that'd be maybe the first thing I might say. And then the second thing might be to look for parallel examples. And you can get really extreme. I mean, I don't compare. I'm not equating these drag queens with slave owners. But I mean, if you want to use a very extreme comparison, somebody could say, well, yeah, but look, the slave owners, they had houses for their slaves to live in, and they gave them food. You know, and if one of them got sick, they'd go into the town and fetch a doctor to help the sick slave. I mean, come on. All of us would laugh at that kind of reasoning, because it doesn't in any way offset the evil of slavery, even though the slave owners might have been capable of doing something compassionate for a slave. There's also that profit motive for them anyway, because they're thinking, well, this is my personal property and I want my personal property to be productive. So there's always even that mixed motive in there as well. But that would probably be another thing if I thought about it long enough, Linda, and I would probably try to find some less extreme parallels, but I would find some other parallels and ask the other person, well, do you think that because this egregious group that we both agree is doing something heinous, the fact that those people do something nice for somebody from time to time, does that in any way diminish the evil of what they're doing? That'd be what I would look for as a way to show that this kind of, you know, airbrushing is, it doesn't really work. So.
Yeah. And I was shocked to see among the people who were supporting this group and taking the opposite position were professed Catholics. One was a nun who wrote into the LA Times, and, you know, so it was on a very public platform.
Mm-hmm. And she was causing scandal by trying to stick up for this craziness. Yeah. And that's what that is. That is a form of scandal when people who know better and should, especially because of their position of authority or position of influence, and they wind up trying to influence people in the wrong direction. Yeah. Well, let's look for the solutions here. I think the solutions are beginning to emerge, and that is primarily at the checkout counter, where people in huge numbers are just declining now to participate with their money. I'm pretty sure it seems pretty likely to me, Linda, that the LA Dodgers are going to feel at the ticket office. They're going to feel the backlash there. You know, no pro sports team wants to see a lot of empty seats during a game. And maybe that'll be another form that this will take, where people will just, they just won't show up. They won't go. And then the Dodgers will be forced, not because of, you know, the conscience part of it, or because they suddenly see the light, but because they're suffering at the ticket sales end of things, and they don't want that because they're in business to make money. So I'm hopeful that some of these pressure points will help.
Yeah, me too. And I know many people are. And one final thing, we live in Iowa. We're going to visit our son and daughter who live in California. And one of the things we're doing is going to a San Diego Padres game in July, because they have Catholic night.
Well, that's good. Stick it to the Dodgers, I guess. Yeah. But you know what? I didn't know this, but I found this out last week. And that is, a kind listener informed me that all of the Major League Baseball franchises in some way or another do the whole gay pride thing, with one exception, and that's the Texas Rangers. They don't do that. So even the Padres, sorry to say, even though they're not as bad as the Dodgers, they haven't gone that far, they still, as with all the other teams, I mean, according to that information I received, they're all involved in it in some way or another too. That's what makes it so difficult to live in the world nowadays, because you can't get away from this. It, everywhere you turn, people that you buy products from, or that you, you know, where you get your groceries or pump your gas or your car insurance or the batteries for your remote control, they're all these companies in one way or another are involved in things like this. You almost have to be a hermit and live off the grid and churn your own butter, you know what I mean, to be able to completely disentangle from this.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks so much for taking my call and for addressing this. And like I said, I wanted to bring it to more people's attention, because it probably is going to come up in conversation. So it's good to be prepared.
It is. I agree. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. Thank you for that, Linda. We'll take a break and we'll come back to more of your phone calls. If you get a busy signal, just hit redial. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm going straight back to phone calls right after this. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? Our sponsor, Creative Planning, has options. More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. Let's go now to Gil in Chicago. Hi, Gil.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
I just wanted to bring to your attention that Trevor Williams, who's a pitcher for the Washington Nationals, put out a really strong statement yesterday as well. And he's a devout Catholic, and he goes as far as recommending that people boycott the Dodgers. And he's a current pitcher for,
Cyrus, do me
like
a favor,
the Washington Nationals. So
can you find that for me, please, Cyrus? Gil, that's a great,
yep,
a great
thank
point.
You, Gil.
I haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah, it's Trevor Williams on Twitter, so you could find it easily. So
that's good to know. That is good to know. I'm wondering if this will cause other players, whether they're Catholic or not, just players of goodwill, who will speak out publicly like this. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So that's two that I know of thus far. The one I mentioned earlier, and now Trevor Williams.
Also, incidentally, while I was waiting on the phone, I just wanted to mention that I just found out my position is being eliminated at work, and it's being replaced by a DEI manager. So it is everywhere. So, you know,
are they going to find a different position for you in the company, or is that the end of the line for that company?
That's the end of the line. So I'm out of a job at the end of June, but God will make something work out. So I have no qualms about this is the right thing for me to do to leave
that's
at this
good.
Time. But
is the company going down that road in a big way?
Yes.
Where it's like you don't even want to work there anymore just because of that?
Well, it's especially hard for me because I am in the HR department, so there's no avoiding it. I think if you were maybe, you know, somewhere on the front line where you could probably participate as much or as little, but since I'm expected to actively promote, I can't do that. So, I always would kind of hide the month of June, you know, try to fly under the radar because, you know, we're promoting a trans speaker and we have to put our pronouns in and all that kind of stuff. And so,
oh boy, it sounds like you work for an airline
for so long. So
it sounds to me like you work for an airline.
It is a global company. So, and it's very much being supported that way. So anyway, you know, God will provide, but after 17 years, it's a little disappointing, but my point is it's not just me, but it's going to impact a lot of people that everybody knows. So
here's a thought, Gil, just something to think about. Okay. There is another global company based in Chicago called Relevant Radio.
Yes,
and they're always hiring.
Yes, great. I do always keep an eye out for what positions might be there. So a resume might be coming
Relevant
Radio way here shortly. So I appreciate it, but thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Gil. Appreciate that. Yeah, Relevant Radio, you know, I mean, obviously living in Chicago is key. But if anyone listening right now ever thinking that your skill set might be advantageous, just check out relevantradio.com and look in the career section. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Brenda in Denver. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to bring to your attention that I actually work for the state government here in Colorado.
Okay.
And if you want to talk about having equity, diversity, and inclusivity pushed in your face and mandatory, that's where you get it. And it especially chaps me because
give me some examples of what you mean.
Well, we have mandatory training every month. We have to learn how to be more inclusive and equitable and diverse. And essentially what that means is exactly what you were saying. It's reverse discrimination. I can't go and interview people without making sure that I have someone of every single race and every single background on there. And even if they're not the most qualified, generally I'm pushed to hire them. And what happens? They tank, and then I have to go through the whole process again. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that happens all the time. But when I really drew the line is when they wanted me to put my, quote, pronouns underneath my signature line, I said, that's not happening.
Right.
That is not happening. They wanted
and they probably got so flustered because nobody ever does that, and they didn't know how to handle you.
I got pushed. I got called to the principal's office saying that I needed to do this. I said, I don't need to do this at all. I'm a taxpayer as well. I know that I'm a female. I'm not putting that on there. We
got
that work there that want to refer me to refer to them as they. I told them I only see one of you. No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. It's gotten to the point of absurdity here in, it all started after COVID too with the Black Lives Matter. I opened my mouth and said, I don't understand. I thought all lives matter. And then all of a sudden I got this email saying, you don't even realize that you're racist. Here's a list of books for you to read so that you understand. And our governor had the unmitigated gall to fly the pride flag underneath my American flag on the flagpole last June 1st. I was so angry. I couldn't even believe it.
Well, I'll go you one better. Actually, it's worse. There were, and I don't know if this affected all U.S. embassies around the world, but there were U.S. embassies, including the one in Rome, right in the backyard of the Catholic Church, and they were flying the gay pride flag, the gay pride flag on the same flagpole just beneath the American flag at these embassies. So this is like an American government statement in such an official capacity. It's breathtaking the way in which the people who believe these ideologies have wormed their ways into positions of power and influence. And they're now forcing it at unbelievable levels like that. Well, I'm sorry you went through that, Brenda. I'm sorry you did, but stand tall. And I think if enough people do what you do, and that is to refuse to participate in the crazy, maybe things are going to start to subside a little bit. We'll see. Thank you. Let's go to Deanna now in Florida. Is it Deanna or Dina? I want to say it the right way.
It's Deanna.
All right. Hi, Deanna.
Hi. Patrick, I was calling because yesterday I was listening to your show, and you mentioned something in Timothy, you said, if I got it right, that if you're baptized and you don't turn to Catholic, you go to hell. I've been reading in the Bible. Can you please explain that to me?
Yeah,
tell me where in the Bible it is so I can read it also.
Okay, I can do that, but I don't think it was directly connected with 2 Timothy. I did quote 1 Timothy chapter 2, And it might have been in that same context where 1 Timothy chapter 2, begin with verse 1, where he says to offer prayers, petitions, intercessions, thanksgivings for everyone, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. And then here's the key part. For this is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So chances are that was the passage that I referenced as part of the bigger picture of Jesus wanting everybody in the world, everywhere. He says in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, he says to the apostles, go into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that context there, we can see Christ's express will that everybody everywhere come into this church that he established. And to expand just a little bit more, Deanna, Jesus did not found Christianity as such. We know Christianity as a phenomenon, as a movement, as a worldwide, more or less, in many ways, similar kind of grouping of like-minded people who profess faith in Jesus Christ, they believe in Jesus Christ, and yet with wildly different understandings of the gospel. You know, something as simple as, does baptism regenerate? You know, Jesus says in John chapter 3, when he's speaking to Nicodemus, unless a man be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says it twice. And then as soon as he's finished with this conversation with Nicodemus, what do we see? We're told in verse 22 that after this, he went out with his disciples into the countryside where he spent some time with them baptizing. So the context of a passage like that is baptism. And he says, unless you're baptized, you can't go to heaven. That's a very startling kind of statement. And there are many such examples of this. So to kind of zero in more on the question that you're asking me, and this is a parallel to the one that I just quoted you. This is in Mark chapter 16. So it's a parallel to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And this is a somewhat shorter version, but he says more or less the same thing. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, he's not forgetting about baptism there. It's implied. It's understood. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe, and you can say by extension, and is not baptized, will be condemned. But, and this is probably what you heard me talking about with 1 Timothy chapter 2, about God willing the salvation of all people and coming to a knowledge of the truth. So in light of Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at the good thief on the cross. He believed, but he didn't have time for baptism, and he was saved. Jesus said, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise, which is where Jesus went to rescue all of those righteous of the Old Testament who were waiting to go to heaven. They were waiting for Jesus to die on the cross and open the gates of heaven. And so he brought that good thief, that revolutionary, as he's also referred to, with him, and from there to heaven. So that's where this passage becomes so important, and others like it, because it shows us that God, through Jesus, he gives us a plan of salvation. What is that plan? Here's the church I established. Go everywhere in the whole world. Tell everybody to come into this church. You might say the doorway into that church is baptism, without which people can't be saved if they are able to do it, but they won't do it. And then that leaves the question about what about all the other people who maybe never really knew? Let's say, and I think this is the example that you raised, somebody who's baptized. If I heard you correctly, Deanna, somebody who's baptized but never becomes Catholic. What about that person? Right.
They go to hell, right? Is that what I heard you say yesterday?
Yes and no. And this is the key to understanding this doctrine, is that if they know, or they have, you know, sufficient awareness that this is true, and they say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to become Catholic. I'm not going to enter the church. Then yes, that's the church's teaching, and that's derived from the things that Jesus said. If they refuse this free gift of salvation, then God's not going to force them to go to heaven. And if you know that this is the path of salvation and you say no, well, God's not going to force you to go to heaven. He respects your free will. But if somebody really genuinely doesn't know, and we can think of all kinds of classes of people for whom that would be a descriptor, like what about infants? They can't know. They have no way of knowing. What about people who are living with mental retardation and they have no capacity to know, however old they might be? There are all kinds of situations in which somebody may not know, and we leave that up to God. We can't make those decisions. Only God can. So the church says that if you know and you refuse, then no, you can't go to heaven. If you don't know and it's not your own fault, then it's possible that the Lord will give you grace in a way that he only knows. He hasn't revealed it to us. But what has been revealed to us is baptism. So faith, repentance, baptism, for those old enough to repent, and to come into this church that Christ established. Remember that Jesus also said, here's another thing, Deanna. He said in John chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he says, you will have life within you. And he says, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. So he wasn't speaking metaphorically. He wasn't speaking figuratively. He begins the bread of life discourse by saying, he who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. So he sets up what he's about to describe with faith and repentance and coming to the Lord. But there's something more there, and that's the Holy Eucharist. So the Eucharist, baptism, membership in the church, these are all things that Jesus repeatedly says are necessary. And I hope that answers your question, Deanna. It's a very good question, and I hope that clarified it a bit better for you. Thank you. I'll be right back with hour two right after this. Yeah.